It's time on the round table once again for book picks. Jacqueline Callahan. It's spelled Kellachan, but I'm going to say Callahan.
And you'd be right.
Okay, that's microphone five. I would be right. She is from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, and she joins us with this week's awesome list, enormous list of reading suggestions. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Ray. It's great to see you. Thanks for letting me come.
Good to
see
you. You know, summertime and reading. Perfect.
Exactly.
I think back when I was a lad, long ago, before there was cable and video games, and in the summer, you'd sit out on the back deck, you'd read a book. I read so many books.
Good for you.
Now, not so much. So what do you have for us today?
Well, what I'd like to start today with, if you're coming to my store today in the summertime in Woodstock, you'd open the door to the store and you might hear bits of Nat King Cole singing Paper Moon or Nancy Sinatra singing You Only Live Twice in the background while I start telling you about Haruki Murakami's 1Q84.
Oh.
Yes. The massive hardcover version was published in the U.S. this past fall, and the three-volume paperback was
She's holding
released,
it up for the camera, by the way, if you were looking on the website.
Was released at the beginning of the summer. The landscape of the book is comprised of the reality of 1984 Tokyo and the unreality of its mirror wonderland of 1Q84.
Mm.
And at the center of both realities is love, how we find it, and especially how we hold on to it, and how the same fragile moment can sustain two people across time, space, and the lives of others, how a heart can hold on so long despite the odds, and how the transformative power of love can change reality.
So this is an uplifting book.
It is. The book is structured around two narratives. The first about Aomame, who's a fitness trainer and sometime assassin.
Ah,
and the second,
that old guy.
Exactly. And the second about Tengo, a cram school math teacher and aspiring novelist who secretly rewritten a book called Air Chrysalis, which was actually written by a high school teenage girl. And it's become a surprise bestseller. And Aomame and Tengo knew each other in grade school and once shared a brief, powerful moment of connection. And they've somehow managed to continue to love each other at a distance, sight unseen, for more than 20 years. And what the book does, it tracks their gradual coming together through a maze of trials featuring monsters and little people and the dark powers of a religious cult.
Oh, I like it.
Mm-hmm. This is a book I didn't come easily to because it is big, it's scary, it's 1,000 pages. It is. And I have to thank a dear friend who I met in a bookstore a long time ago for actually kind of grabbing me and making me read it. But once I started reading, I was completely enthralled. It's a gripping page-turner that is by turns fantasy, noir, and comedy. But the amazing descriptive detail of the book keeps it real and achieves, I think, what is like the main function of literature, which is to reimagine and reframe the world.
Oh, I love it.
So there you go.
Okay, that's a good summer read.
Don't waste your time on other fiction. Read 1Q84.
That is a whopping book.
It is.
Okay.
So the author who wrote this, Murakami, he's so cool. He worked in a bar in Tokyo for years. He runs marathons. He's kind of obsessed with jazz, and what he also does is translate English books into Japanese, and he's translated Fitzgerald and Hemingway, for instance.
Okay.
And this is something that he says about translation. He says, line by line, I just let my favorite work pass through my body and my mind. And I love that quote, because in the summertime, I always love to reread books that I loved before, and I think when you're rereading something that's amazing, you can really feel it all over again. And for me, the book that I'm rereading is The Great Gatsby.
Now, why?
Why? It is so good. Did you read it in high school? Did you skip it? Did you read the Cliff Notes?
I probably read most of it in high school.
Yeah.
Enough to pass the test, certainly.
Well done. Well done. But you should reread it. The language is so beautiful. It's Fitzgerald's masterwork about the fallibility of the American dream. It was written in 1925. There's this new movie coming out. You know,
there is?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know this.
And so it's just so good. Read it, please.
Okay.
The thing with the two eggs don't fare as well as the two moons in 1Q84, but it's wonderful.
And look, you have a vintage copy.
I have
copy.
My high school. Yeah,
yeah,
this is the copy that I had in high school.
All right, she's holding it up for the camera again. Boy, Jacqueline's really got it going on here.
All right. So the next thing I want to say is that I love my crazy hippie town where I live. I live in Woodstock, New York, and I have to say that I have the best job, which is owning a bookstore in the middle of town. And the thing that is so amazing about Woodstock, it's filled with ornery, opinionated, iconoclastic people. And the reason why is because Woodstock has been this place, I think, where people have been trying to come realize their utopia for more than 150 years. From the mid-19th century, when they're trying to escape mosquitoes in New York City, they didn't want yellow fever. They came up to the Hudson Valley to get away from that, to coming at the turn of the century to set up art colonies, to find a place to express themselves artistically and also find spiritual fulfillment.
Yeah.
For me, to know your town is to love your town. And I have this awesome book that is written by two local poets, Michael Perkins and Will Nixon, and it's called The Pocket Guide to Woodstock, with illustrations by Carol Zaloom. Okay, there it is.
Holding it for the camera.
Okay, well and these two wonderful poets have written A Pocket Guide to the Town. And it brings history to life in a very accessible way. So you open the book and you can read about all the different buildings in town and all the layers of history behind it. And it's a walking guide to the village. It's a tour of the hamlets.
Is it a guide to the Stars homes?
It is not.
It is not.
It is not. No, we don't need that.
No,
we don't need that.
We certainly don't in the land of the ornery iconoclasts.
Exactly. On Saturdays this summer, you should come to my bookstore 10 a.m. because Will and Michael are giving tours of the town.
Oh, really nice.
Yes, and the price of admission is the book, which is a small price to pay for learning about the incredible history of the most famous small town in the U.S.
And you love the town, don't you?
I do. It's amazing. I saw, over the weekend, I saw a production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, yes. I heard about
that. That would make hair grow on your head. It was amazing.
That would be some feat, by the way.
So now that you want to live in Woodstock, all I can say to you is you have to build your house in Woodstock.
Okay, that brings us to the next.
Exactly. And this book is called Designing a House, The Illustrated Guide to Planning Your Own Home by Lester Walker, who happens to live in Woodstock.
Okay.
And he's also written a number of other books about homes and house building and buildings with blocks. But in this book, it's a step-by-step guide to creating a house that works for your particular needs. You can become your own architect.
Well,
it's a scary thought, but you can.
Yeah, I'm not sure radio people are cut out for that sort of thing. Our skill set is rather limited.
Give it to one of your kids.
Can I look?
You can set it up in that garage that you were telling me about.
I didn't like it.
Put them to work.
Oh, would you look at this? Using bubble diagrams. Okay.
Yeah.
Our news director, Katie Britton, uses these. Here's the studio. Go sit down now. Oh, this is great.
It's amazing. So in this book, form follows function, right? So you want to identify what you want out of your home and then create the house that can achieve that. And it's a step-by-step guide going from how you should set up your office, okay, to sketching out your plan. Each step is illustrated with easy-to-follow diagrams and photos. And we are having an event this Sunday, 5 p.m. at the Kleiner James Arts Center with Lester Walker, and he's going to talk all about how you can design your own house.
And so it starts conceptually, but by the end, you're how to pick out siding and roofing and insulation and what kind of heating.
It explains air circulation for you.
Yeah.
It tells you what kind of window type you should choose.
It's pretty handy.
It's an awesome book.
Yeah,
it's
not bad.
It's a really awesome book.
Not bad.
All right.
All right. What's next there, kid?
So next, since this is the summer, right,
mm-hmm.
and we should all have guilty pleasures in our summer.
Okay.
Okay. I have been imagining, there's two memoirs that have been pretty popular. They both came out at the beginning of the summer. One of them is a book called The Receptionist by Janet Groff. The Receptionist, An Education at the New Yorker.
Okay.
The other is Greg Allman, My Cross to Bear.
Oh, boy.
My guilty pleasure is imagining Janet Groff and Greg Allman meeting each other. It didn't happen.
No. Well, not that you know of.
Not that I know of, but I feel like they would have told me about it, because in Greg Allman's book, he pretty much, he doesn't leave much to the imagination, and he's known a lot of ladies. And,
yeah,
and he had several marriages. He shot himself in the foot to avoid the draft.
That I did not know.
Yeah, you can read about it.
Jerry
here.
Garcia only cut off a finger, right?
Right.
So, how was the marriage to Cher? That's what you got to know.
Right. He powerful, short.
Powerful and short, like Sonny. How about that?
Exactly. And so anyway, I just imagine both of these authors with their long blonde hair. Janet Groff was, she actually worked as a receptionist at the New Yorker from 1957 to 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of her stint, when she had her job interview with E.B. White, she said, "I don't type. you know, she saw herself as a writer. She was a receptionist for 21 years. And she doesn't, it's really only at the end of the book where she kind of alludes to her lack of career advancement at The New Yorker. She never was able to get, you know, her stuff into the talk of the town or become a writer. She was kind of like the babysitter, mother, confidant, all of that for a lot of the writers and editors.
Yeah.
She really dishes about her interesting relationships with people like Joseph Mitchell and John Berryman. While she was at The New Yorker, she got a master's and she went on to be academic and teaching literature. So she left The New Yorker. She talks a lot about her difficulties with men. It's a very dishy kind of gossipy book. And if you're into The New Yorker and into sort of those glory days at that time, this is an awesome book.
All right.
And so,
see,
and
they
then,
have the font correct on the cover as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
The least they could do for her.
Exactly.
And so anyway, Greg Allman, Janet Groth, they didn't meet, but you could have them together on your shelf.
Now, Greg Allman, clearly, I mean, somebody must have helped Greg Allman write this book, right?
It says, with Alan Light.
Okay, so Alan Light with Greg Allman.
Exactly.
It's an enormous book.
It's an enormous book. There's some nice font there.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, very whimsical.
Alludes to the album covers.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just, it's a fun, if you like reading music biographies, which I do, is it the best? No. Is it the worst? No, but it's really fun to read.
What's your favorite music biography?
Oh my gosh. I love, well, I talked about it last time, but I love This Wheel's on Fire by Levon Helm. It's so good. Mm. It's such a good book. And another book that I talked about was, the book that's about the Leuven brothers that I talked about last time, remember?
Yes, with the devilish motifs. Yes, I remember being
that's,
in here about
that's
that.
That's so good. I'm a sucker for the music biography. So anyway, that's how I ended up with Greg Allman.
Okay, and then you got this dragon in the sock drawer. What's all this about?
Well, so this next book, this is the first, actually, in a series of books by the author Kate Klimo.
Okay.
And it's actually the first in a series of five, the Dragon Keeper series. And this series it's an excellent series. It's for middle grade readers, which is sort of like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. It's accessible. It's adventure filled. The reason why I'm talking about this book today, I actually don't have the number five book, which is Dragons in the Sea. This is the first in the series, is that actually starting on Thursday and for the next 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we at the Golden Notebook have the pleasure of working with Random House at the Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're going to be selling books at the family tent. And on Saturday at 2 p.m., Kate Klimo is going to be reading from the latest in this Dragon Keeper series. So Dragon Keeper number five, The Dragon in the Sea.
Is there any connection to bluegrass in this book? Does the dragon play banjo or anything? No?
He maybe by the end of it, yeah.
Okay.
We're selling a lot of books with Random House that are wonderful characters, fantastic characters. And what's bluegrass about? It's about stories, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So there you go. There's the tie-in for
Fair
that.
Enough. And that is on Saturday, July 21st.
That's on Saturday,
this
July
Saturday.
21st,
My
2 p.m.
Word.
Yes. And the last book that I wanted to mention is a book and an event that we're doing this Saturday. And the book is called Winning the Story Wars, and it's by Jonah Sachs.
Okay.
And this is a book about, and it's from Harvard Business Review Press, Harvard University Press. And it's about myth-making, marketing, and the shape of the future. If you tell the best story, you will win.
You'll win the future?
You will come out ahead. And so this event is Saturday, July 21st, 5 p.m. at our store in our new upstairs event space.
Ooh.
Which is tremendously
nice?
Exciting. Yeah, it's really great.
So, I mean, can you get a cup of coffee and sit down? Or
You can sit down.
You can't have a cup of coffee?
You can't have a cup of
coffee. Near
the
books?
No, there's... Yeah, no.
I spill stuff.
Our store is very small. There's
yeah.
no... Yeah. We confiscate coffee and ice cream at
oh,
the door.
Oh, really? And what do you do with it?
We hold it. We hold it for the customers.
Okay. Well, we are just about out of time. Jacqueline Callahan, you know, this segment went very quickly.
It did.
It's a lot of fun having you here. The Golden Notebook, where the famous people go to shop for books sometimes, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
29 Tinker Street in Woodstock, New York. We're online at goldennotebook.com. You have an event on Saturday at the Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival.
Yep.
And then you have an event on Sunday. Where is the event on?
We have another event on Saturday at the store, 5 p.m.,
okay.
Jonah Sachs. And then we have an event Sunday, 5 p.m. across the street from the store at the Kleiner James Arts Center.
Okay, so the Golden Notebook, and it's goldennotebook.com. Jackie, thanks a lot for being here, as always.
Thank you, Ray.
And we will see you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.